Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Oi, what's the best game where you get to eat pie? What's the best game where you play a dead guy? Aye,
you'll find out on VG247's podcast.
Here, what's the best game where you swing from a rope? And what's the best game where you batter the Pope?
Assassin's Creed 2. Like I said, you will find out in this your podcast.
Welcome to VG247's Best Games Ever podcast, the show where we like to find the best game in a really specific category. For example, this week we're looking for the best game that they wouldn't get away with nowadays, inspired, of course, by the process of aging. This is a special birthday treat for Richie, who I've invited onto my show to do some unpaid work. So, happy birthday, Richie.
Thanks.
Earlier this week in the work Slack, I wished Tom a happy birthday, thinking it was his birthday, because something on my screen said, it's Tom's birthday, right? You know, the Windows thing that tells you the events and stuff. I turned on my computer and it said, it's Tom's birthday today. And I was like, oh shit, I better get in the Slack before anyone else does, because I want to pretend that like I'm the first one who's remembered. His birthday's in November.
Who was that? Was it Captain Tom? Whose birthday was it?
I've got no idea which Tom it was, but I felt really bad about it. And then I tried to make out, because I said happy birthday, and then like three colleagues were like, happy birthday, Tom. So I went, it's not his birthday, but nobody checks these days, do they? And then everyone got mad at me. So I tried to style it out and fell flat on my face. I am joined today by Richie Morgan, as you've seen, and also Owen O'Donnell. Who is returning for the third time, Owen, is that right?
Yep, looking forward to the hat trick.
Owen has won every time he's been on, and Richie has lost every time he's been on, so we'll see if they can both continue their respective streaks.
Before everybody rushes in,
yeah,
it's not my birthday today.
It will be soon though, right?
It will be soon. It's in like a week, but yeah, it's not today.
I don't want to start this off on a bad note, but I did tell you I'd love Owen to come back on, right? I basically said I'd trade all of you to be friends with Owen, right? That's true. That's a fact. I never said get Richie back on.
Well, they kind of come as a package deal, because it's, you know, it's Richie Morgan from My Life and Owen O'Donnell from the Infinite Review. What's, and also My Life.
What is funny about this is I got asked, but I didn't respond.
So yeah, it was Owen that went, yeah, sure, and then you just sort of turned up.
Yeah, I'm just here. I just assumed I would have to do it. So
Richie, when I said yes, did you think, oh fuck, because you knew then, well, that's me said yes now.
Yeah, because yeah. Like, I've got better things to do in my time than sit and figure out games based on some obtuse category.
Well, speaking of which, Tom, we are of course joined by Tom Ory, who is the favourite in among this podcast's small and ever dwindling audience. You remain a superstar among that very select group. So they're going to be very pleased to see you again, Tom.
Yeah. Good.
So I hope you've enjoyed this little birthday surprise.
Is it a surprise for me or Richie? Who is it?
It was meant to be a surprise for you.
Right, okay.
But it's Richie's birthday. It's, you know, it's like the format. It's not very well thought out. Okay.
It's just very loosely, elements just loosely tethered together.
Fuck off. Right, okay, so we're looking for the best game that they wouldn't get away with nowadays, and I would like, what, have you not got one for that, Richie?
I do, but I think I misinterpreted, but it's fine. It's fine.
Doesn't
we'll
matter.
Just go with it.
Doesn't matter. The whole point of the game is to just like crowbar whatever you like it.
Doesn't matter.
Okay. It doesn't matter. He's going to go on about fucking Football Manager in 5 minutes. So, speaking of which, Tom, would you like to go first?
Yeah, right.
Show the newbies how it's done.
Yeah. Is this Owen the artist?
That
is the same Owen.
Yeah, same Owen. Yeah, yeah. Right.
So we're not making Owen the artist a character. Just me.
You are the same.
I had to explain to a lot of people, like, this isn't a piss take. Owen genuinely is an artist. And they were like, really? as if that idea is mental. But yeah.
If all this is nonsense to you, we have a video on the YouTube channel where Owen, as an artist, rates characters made in Dragon's Dogma 2, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing we did. People didn't understand what it was about. All right, so I saw this, Jim, and I thought this topic was clearly designed to bait people into being controversial, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they won't do that now because of woke reasons, mm-hmm. etc.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go down that route because I thought around it in a smart way. So,
right,
if we go back to my childhood, as we always do,
yeah.
It was, we just had the Mega Drive and the SNES, right? Go on.
Can I just clarify, which decade did your childhood take place in? Was it the early 90s?
I talked about this to my wife the other day, and I was like, I remember things from the 80s, but probably seen most of those things in the 90s, right? I was really 90s, I guess, because 90s is when I was like a child that I can remember the life of,
yeah.
I guess, yeah. So I was like, I turned 10 in the like early 90s.
Okay.
So I guess I was a 90s child, probably.
Okay. Also, right. When you're a kid, like, I think for our generation, anyone who wasn't a full generation behind on their video games was rich.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Our 80s memories are really early 90s memories.
Yeah, yeah. It makes sense. Okay, because every time I picture your childhood when you go on these escapades, Tom, I imagine what the images in my mind are definitely of the 70s.
No.
But that's not.
Thatcher's Britain.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, Tom, carry on.
All right. So I was a child, etc. It was the 90s. We just had the Mega Drive and the SNES. I was very much Sega as a younger child. Had a Master System. Again, like Richie said, generation, like the Mega Drive was out, but that's when I got the Master System because that's made sense. More games, cheaper, etc. Like, it made sense to me. Maybe my mum conned me a bit, but she sold it to me in a way that made sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
So we got the Master System. And then we eventually got a Mega Drive. Went on a mad run on Mega CD. I didn't get the 32X, thankfully. But anyway, I was Sega. I love Sega stuff. I never had a SNES or a NES as a child. I had a Game Boy, but didn't think much of it, to be honest.
It's because it was crap.
So next console...
Shut up, Jim.
Yeah, I mean, Jim's got a point, but let's not talk about that now. So I was like, I'm Sega. I love Sega stuff. Like, oh, look at all the arcade games Sega are making. Oh, that looks cool. They're gonna probably all come to the Saturn, right? So I was like, I'm gonna get a Saturn, definitely, 100%. I love Sega. We can get a Saturn. My school teacher's husband worked in Blockbuster, right?
We've heard about this before.
So,
this guy.
So he's
is this
he's,
the guy who shot in
Lidl? No, it's not him. No. not him. So he basically gave us a Saturn to try out whenever they got them in Blockbuster, because my mum was friends with my old school teacher, who this was the husband of. A bit complicated if I say it like that. But essentially, we got a Saturn, me and my brother. We played it. Oh, this is cool. This is great. I was like, we're definitely going to get this. Thanks for letting us borrow this, because it's confirmed my view that I'm going to get a Saturn, right? So I was filling out the special reserve form, filled it all out, written it out, Saturn, Sega Rally, Bug, I don't know what else came out of the launch of Saturn. It's a long time ago, right? And then in my mind, like days later, it was probably months, right? I had this form probably sat there for ages while saving up money. But at some point later, he came around and gave us a PlayStation to try out, right? And I was like, yeah, I'll give this a go, but I'm definitely going to get a Saturn because I love Sega, right? Stuck it on. I was like, just ripped up that special reserve form straight away. Definitely getting a PlayStation now. And the game that really did it for me was Ridge Racer, right? Mm-hmm. Ridge Racer, which I had played in an arcade, I think on a school trip to the Isle of Wight. And I was like, this...
I don't know why that's funny. Sorry.
But there was an arcade there, and they had some cool games there, and they had one of them was Ridge Racer. Excellent. And I played it at home, and I was like, couldn't believe it. This is like the same, right? But the thing about Ridge Racer is, it's essentially got one track. It's one track, right? And I checked this morning to make sure I wasn't like misremembering this. So I love Ridge Racer. It's probably the greatest launch game of all time in my mind in terms of like selling you on something that's new and exciting. But it's got a beginner's track, which is very simple, right? And then it's got the next track up, which is exactly the same track, but a bit faster, right? Mm. And then it's got the next track, which is the same track, but with quite a lot bolted onto it to be like a big extra part. But you could say it's got one track slash course or whatever you want to call it. And you can go back in like reverse and mirrored and all this kind of stuff, but that doesn't count as new tracks to me. So my point is Ridge Racer, can't remember how much it was, 40, 50 quid or something probably. One track. There's no way that would fly today, right? Releasing a racing game with one track for like full price. No. So that's it. Ridge Racer, one of the greatest games of all time. So I will win this week, but it's only got one track and there's no way they get away with that. If you want to go even further, they re-released it sort of like a year or maybe a year later, Ridge Racer Revolution, which added a few more shitty tracks, basically. And it was all more or less the same, but it had like a rear view mirror in when you're in the car, stuff like that. I remember I got given that, funny story, for a Christmas present from the Blockbuster man. There you go. All comes together, doesn't it?
Okay.
Did you get a Saturn in the end?
I didn't. My cousin got one because he got absolutely everything. And I remember playing Ridge. I played Sega Rally on it, and I thought, this is actually very good. I do like this, but also the PlayStation's probably just a bit better, isn't it? I did end up buying a Saturn about, when was that? Maybe 10 years ago. Never actually got it out of the box. Bought it from eBay. Never played it. Sold it all. I think I've still got a copy of FIFA on the Saturn sat around because no one wanted it.
Do you know why they call it the Saturn? Was it mostly sat in the shops because nobody bought them? Sorry. I've been waiting like 50 minutes to make that joke.
That's good. It's good, Richie.
Cheers.
The PlayStation, when the PlayStation arrived, it so dominated the, advertising and just the headspace of children my age at the time. Even as a huge Sega fan, I wasn't even aware of the Saturn at all, because as soon as the PlayStation was out, it was just, that is it. That's absolutely it. It's no point thinking about anything else.
Yeah. As a child, I was well into the clubbing scene, so it really appealed to me. The console marketed to clubbers.
As soon as they had that advertising campaign that was like, you know, the PlayStation is dangerous.
Yeah.
We think it should be banned because it'll kill people. Yeah. But that's their advert. And you sit there as a child thinking, that's real and true, and I need one so that it can kill me.
And then the news is like, we've come to the Ministry of Sound where there's a bank of screens showing Wipeout. And it's like, oh, it is dangerous. All the folk who are in Eckies play this.
None of the people in this report are going to see their family again.
I've come to the Ministry of Sound to see a computer game. But what Tom means by clubbing is snooker club. Slightly different thing.
It was big across all the clubs, yeah. Definitely.
Jimmy White snooker on the PS1. Okay, right, let's move on to Owen, because I want to make Richie go last as a birthday treat.
Okay. I'll talk about the game in a moment, but there's something I'd like to talk about first.
Uh-huh.
In 1989, Michael Jackson's Moonwalker was released on home video in North America for $24.98. Even though he was the biggest star in the world and he'd made this film with an unsurprisingly high production cost, theater owners just weren't interested in what they saw as perhaps fairly a string of incoherent music videos played back to back, which served as little more than an advert for an album and a man. Whatever the reason, they weren't willing to give Jackson 94 minutes of their time. That same year, Blackthorn Publishing adapted Moonwalker into a comic. Blackthorn ceased operations in 1990. But 1990 also saw the release of several video game adaptions of Moonwalker. Each one of them is based on the Smooth Criminal section of the film, where Michael Jackson attempts to rescue children from the drug dealer Mr. Big. And if you find Bubbles, Michael turns into a robot.
I want to correct you there quickly. I had it on the Commodore 64, and it wasn't entirely based on the Moonwalker. It wasn't based on the Smooth Criminal section. It had the bit where you're the bunny on the bike.
You're absolutely right.
And it had other bits as well, so I think you need to retract.
You're talking about the Commodore 64 version, and it was also on the Master System, which you mentioned. It was on the Amiga, Amstrad, Atari ST, the MSX, the ZX Spectrum. Moonwalker was on everything. 25th.
The Skyrim of its day, right?
Yeah, absolutely. On June 25th, though, in 2009, Michael walked his last moon and died. So my point is, I don't think you'd get away with releasing a game based on a box office bomb from 1988 starring a pop star who died over 14 years ago today.
I bought Moonwalker on VHS. Do you know who bought it? I walked up to town to Woolworths, and the person that took me was someone we called Uncle Trevor. He wasn't my uncle. He was a circus performer that specialised in balancing on rolling beams and juggling.
Right.
And did you buy it to give the game more context?
I just loved it. I loved the film as a child. I mean, you can say that's wrong, but as a child, I didn't know better. And it just, the bit where he turns into a car, there's a bit with a spider. I can't remember exactly what that's about, but I remember there being a bit with a spider, which I loved, quite scary, I think. I also had this, I think I had a teddy bear that used to sing some songs from the film. So I was quite big into Michael Jackson, as lots of kids from the 80s/90s were.
But would you agree that a Michael Jackson's Moonwalker game released in 2014 would be a misstep?
I think, I agree that they wouldn't make it now. And it is a good game, to be fair.
I mean, Michael Jackson, The Experience, was released on everything in 2010. And there was a Michael Jackson-based MMORPG planned that fell through, but it was going to happen. And Bandai did release...
Who the fuck was making that?
Bandai did release a figure of MJ in 2014. So I think what's clear is it's not to do with Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson still, you know, that money is safe. But the closure of, like, the failure of the film and the closure of that comics company that lost everything by paying for the Moonwalker license proves that Moonwalker is the problem. So I think you could make a Michael Jackson game today and that would make a lot of money. But a Moonwalker game in 2014, that's my case.
Very well. I think that's pretty solid. Okay.
Did anyone try and do the Smooth Criminal lean? Was that a thing everyone tried to do as children? You know, when he leans over.
Yeah.
In like a way that seems impossible.
It is impossible.
Remember trying to do that.
I don't think he did it.
He definitely
Richie,
did.
Don't ruin this. If you've seen the film or if you've seen the music video, you'll see that it's very much possible. It's done in camera. You see Michael Jackson and others do the lean.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking
very
about?
Very strong, like, shins.
You've actually, you fucked that, Richie. Like, you're talking to two guys who know what. Who
time
know
will
what
tell on this it. One.
Yeah, well, we can ask him how this is going to be proved.
Yeah, I mean, it'll get some documents will get released one day that'll prove that the lean was a lie. It's like they'll open Prince's vault and he'll have had the smoking gun in there the whole time.
I believe. I mean, I haven't followed Michael Jackson news for many years now. I'm not sure what that scene is like now, but I believe there was some kind of documentary that attempted to expose him as lying about the lean. And, you know, a lot of people came out of the woodwork, probably looking for money, you know, with some cock and bull story about how the lean wasn't real. But, you know, there was a lot of pushback on that. And I think most sensible people agreed the lean was real.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. So, Richie.
Yeah.
What is the best game that they wouldn't get away with nowadays?
See, I think, you know what? I probably read the message and then it turned into, in my head, like a few days later, it turned into, what would they not do? And then I sat thinking, like, what would they not do these days? And it was like, I went through a bunch of things. The first thing I came to was, like, I was thinking about, like, food brand games, like your McDonald's games or your Cool Spot or that Quavers Puzzler with Colin Curley. Instead, I started thinking about like little mini exclusive games that used to get on demo discs. So it'd be like more popular, maybe like on the Amiga or the Spectrum or something. Like, I'm not going to talk, this isn't what I'm going to talk about, but the one I was reading up on last night is there was a Dizzy 3.5 on the Spectrum, which was a prequel to Magic Land Dizzy, and it featured Dizzy's lesser known cousin, Danny.
There's always someone who's big into Dizzy, isn't there? There's always someone. You can always spot them.
But anyway, what I wanted to actually talk about was the Cannon Fodder Christmas Special.
Oh, right, okay.
Which was an Amiga format for Christmas in 93, I think. And essentially what it was is two levels of Cannon Fodder that were like Christmassy themed. And the first level was the sensible soccer field surrounded by snow. And all you had to do was massacre the football players. And then you won. Yeah. And then level two was just a snowy cannon fodder level. And it's just nice. It's nice to go, like, to be like, let's buy a magazine and it's got something on it that I can play that I can't play anywhere else.
It's very insensitive about the First World War.
That's the other one. The Sensi Soccer meets Bulldog Blighty.
I thought Cannon Soccer was the...
There was a sensible soccer one that was also on Amiga format, I think.
Arrogance to think that anyone listening has any fucking idea what you're talking about.
So where do I start? Cannon Fodder was a...
he hasn't even begun.
Why have you given context? Cannon Fodder... People know what Cannon Fodder is?
Not happy enough to bring up Dizzy, but to bring up like outer circle, like obscure Dizzy lore.
Listen, I'm actually really busy. I've got a lot of work to do today, and I've been pulled out to do Anyway, I feel like you wouldn't get video games on the front of magazines anymore. I'm sure you would get away with it.
Yeah.
You're arguing for demo discs.
Not demo discs, because demos are just a bit of a game. I'm talking about like exclusive versions of games. Usually quite small, but like
Future Publishing noted rival Future Publishing, like actually commissioning a cannon fodder game to go in their magazine, right?
And because obviously, because back then games were made by like seven men in a shed.
Yeah,
they, you know, they could do stuff like that, I suppose.
Yeah, massive corruption index on that as well, because one of the Amiga Power guys was a writer on Cannon Fodder too. So like, they were all fucking at it. They were all fucking. You know what I mean?
What was it? What's interesting about the Sensible Soccer World War II crossover is that you could play Sensible Soccer, and it was in black and white, and it was with the Cannon Fodder characters, and the ball was replaced with a grenade that would go off at random.
Is it?
And
is
the game
it,
would continue. Not... You would just have fewer players.
Yeah, yeah.
I maybe should have talked about that, actually. That sounds like a better game.
Why was it
game.
Black and white? What was the reason for black and white?
Because it was World War II when things were in black and white.
Was it World War II?
Yeah, because it's meant to be the... Or is it World... Oh, no, sorry. It's World War
I. It's World War I where they played football.
World War I when they played football. Black and white.
Yeah. So it had three... I think
if anything, that's sepia.
And then there was... When was it? When did England play Germany in the World Cup?
1966. Yeah.
So there was like a 1914 mode, a 1966 mode, and a 1993 mode, which is like a demo.
I'm super confused about this now, but what this has got me thinking about, and this is a big tangent, but why not go for it? Cannon fodder made me think about, my son's got a special lunch at school soon for D-Day, right? And we got sent, I don't know why they're doing this, but they are. It's like a special lunch, and we got sent the menu through, right? And this is replace the existing standard menu with this special D-Day
instead of
menu.
A sandwich, it's a grenade.
So I was trying to read out the menu because I thought it was quite amusing that they... Let's see if you think this is at all relevant or special.
Trench
anyway.
Rat.
So the main is fish fingers and chips.
Right.
Or vegan balls and tomato sauce and chips, or jacket potato and cheese and salad. And then you've got a side of baked beans or peas, and then a dessert of chocolate brownie. And I was looking at that and thinking, like, what, why is that? What is that celebrating? That's just the normal menu. And they've made a big deal about D-Day for some reason. Like, and they here have the normal thing on D-Day to celebrate D-Day. I couldn't understand it.
I'm pretty sure, like, Britain didn't have brownies until 1998.
Yeah, it's because those men on storming Normandy, they died for the freedom for your son to eat vegan balls. Yeah. They've made D-Day woke.
What would your special D-Day menu be?
For me?
Yeah, well, yeah.
I don't know. Well, I mean, Owen just said trench rat, hard tack.
They could have themed it a bit, right? They could have made it a little bit sort of like an experience, but they haven't.
I suppose to tie it into our theme, a game about massacring a football team for a bit of fun probably wouldn't cut it today on the front of a magazine.
It would get a pasting on Twitter, definitely. Mm.
The zombie mode in Call of Duty was a bit of a sensation. I think if a football game wants to get a bit of attention, get a few more sales, maybe bring in a DLC that has the ball is a bomb and it could go anytime, I think that would bring a genuine bit of, you know, like you don't want to hold on to the ball too long. You keep passing. Get in the goal before it blows.
That is a good, that's fun.
Could be fun.
But I'm so sorry because I've now gotten two completely, not completely different games mixed up. Because I was talking about the Cannon Fodder one and then we start talking about Sensible Soccer. I'm sorry. I've ruined this.
It's fine. It's all right. It's all right.
Let's be disqualified already, so that's fine.
It's all right. I was going to say you're not going to win anyway, so it's fine. Don't worry about it. You know, as a birthday treat, you're going to lose.
Is already finding out about Danny the Egg. Dizzy's cousin.
Fucking hell!
That's the most shittest off-brand Dizzy character, I think.
He's manky cousin Danny. All right. Okay. I need to pick something now. So.
Are you still doing this tune?
Things have changed a little bit. That'll come in a minute. Remind me, gentlemen, what were the titles of your games?
Ridge Racer.
Cannon Fodder
Michael
Christmas
Jackson's
Special.
Michael Jackson's Moonwalker.
Yeah, okay, Michael.
I think this is obvious, Jim. I know you're going to drag this out a bit, but I think there is a very obvious choice. My son's Christmas, like not Christmas, his D-Day meal, this should have been black and white, right? Then it would have been, we'd have known that it was something old.
Just a slice of domino cake.
Yeah, I think. Well, I think they could definitely do a Ridge Racer game now.
With one track, Jim.
Yeah, with one track. Yeah.
No, they could not.
Yeah.
Imagine it.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Imagine it. The outrage when a game's not 100 hours long. There's outrage.
Because it'll be fine. Because they would put it on. They would put it on a storefront for $6.99, and they'd be like, this is the classic Ridge Racer experience. We put all
our
time into this one
track. I'm not saying re-release the original.
I'm saying it would be like, look, this is a new Ridge Racer game, but it's a classic experience. It's just one track, and we've put all of our fucking time and effort into this one track, and you've got to learn every inch of it.
It was full price, Jim.
Yeah, he did. I was going to say, he did.
All right. I reckon there are people who pay £40.
So I reckon if they released a new Ridge Racer, one track, with a bonus extra bit for the special response track.
Big fucking track,
and it was full price now, so at least £50. That would go down fine, would it?
A big old track with several biomes and loads of shortcuts.
Not several, no. It's one small track with a little bit bolted
on. What is Forza Horizon if not one big track?
I think some people would buy it just based on the power of the Ridge Racer brand.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
if you put online leaderboards on that,
that
becomes a thing. There's one track. Can you master...
Yeah,
Ridge Racer.
I'm pretty sure I'm being gaslit here, but this is part of the podcast, right? So it's fine. I accept this is the argument that people are having,
it's going to be like, you know, Nintendo could probably stick that on the Switch as Ridge Racer 99, and it would be like, you've got to post your time, and people have to beat your time or whatever, and there'll be one guy who's the king, and everyone's like, how did he do it in 19 seconds? Nobody knows. Etc. Etc. So,
because he fucking drove into a bush and the car went and shot to the end of the track.
Yeah, it was a total fluke. The guy can't do it again. I think you're barking up the wrong tree there, Tom. But I do agree with Owen that there's just no way that a Moonwalker game would ever fly ever again. So I'm afraid, Owen. It pains me to say that Owen has achieved his hat trick. So.
I like how you haven't even discussed Richie's. It's not even in the discussion.
That's fine. I got the brief.
I don't even know what he submitted.
I don't think Richie picked a game.
I did. It was the Cannon Fodder Christmas special.
I think he's still thinking about it.
Yeah. We can't put Amiga format in.
He found out 30 minutes ago what this podcast is about. So, I mean, in fairness, give him a minute to choose something.
If you are not a paid subscriber of this podcast, this is the point where we leave you, unfortunately. If you are a paid subscriber, we're about to go on and do my pick, and everyone's going to tell me I'm wrong for it, etc. And Tom's going to probably look very stoic and annoyed, and Richie's going to look at his watch and go, you didn't tell me about this, etc. but if you want to hear the extended version of this podcast, which is usually 15 or so minutes longer, go to vg247.com and click on the support us page to find out how you can become a paid subscriber.
It's right in the top right. If you're on a mobile, you have to click the little expand menu button and then click it. If you're on mobile,
these people have been using websites for years. They get, you know.
should say, if anyone is thinking about paying to hear me some more, I am hanging up in a minute, so you're not going to miss out on any of me.
Right. Okay. Well, if you're not a paid subscriber, we've got a lovely Navy. Thank you so much for listening. Please give us a 5-star review in all the podcast apps of your choice, etc. We're going to go now. Goodbye. You only get away from me unless you pay for it.